This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli on Absolute Radio. I forgot what I usually say. That's a bad sign. We're not live. I don't normally say that, but I said it last week.
I'm really sorry. My chair just squeaked really noisily.
That's okay. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Are you chewing?
No.
Okay. We're not live, so do not text. You can tell I'm reading that, but we're not live. I'm sorry we've been doing a few pre-records, but me and Pierre are on tour.
That's what you're telling me anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a bit,
what if we're
living as man and wife and have bought a small antique shop in Brighton?
Yeah.
Imagine if you told Kat that.
What if?
It'd be a great episode of Marvel's What If. Anyway, I've got to get through this. Follow us on X.
All right, Daniel Bedingfield.
Follow us on X and Instagram. Frank on the radio. I'll tell you something in a minute. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk. Do you think they got that? At Frank on the radio is the X and Instagram, frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Yeah.
And I did a joke on a chat show years ago, and it was the police. No, not the police. Can we lose that, Steve? And we can't. Even though it's a pre-record, we can't. It's not that we can't, but, you know, got all the stuff. Yeah. To do. The army were using, you know, the they had no choice, using the dogs and the pets to do things in the war.
Yes.
And they'd built a little barracks for the dogs.
Oh, right.
Anyway, the very highly strained punchline was they had a spaniel bedding field. It wasn't at the time. I was trying to do that David Letterman stuff.
I was like
using writers. You know how a lot of comedians use writers?
Yes.
A lot of the big comics.
Yeah. Mm. Do you like using writers?
I hate it.
Why?
Well, they're not as good as me.
Wow.
I don't know if they might have stolen their ideas from other people. Yeah. And also, most importantly, if I get a laugh that's been written by someone else, I feel nothing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where even a half laugh written by me, I feel like I want to punch the air with delight and give thanks to the Lord. Someone else's joke, you know.
Whatever.
What am I? Some kind of mouthpiece?
Some sort of actor?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how the actors cope with it.
Some sort of newsreader.
Spaniel Bedingfield there was like watching a man do the splits. That was just
too strange
level of effort.
I chose it.
Yeah, you're talking quite straight.
No, but I said it out loud again. It's the second time I've said it out loud.
Anyway,
as I say, me and Pierre are on tour at the moment. We started the sort of national tour this week.
Mm.
In Northern Ireland, in Belfast.
Yes.
So this is the beginning of the tour. It's always a bit of an excitement.
Yeah.
I get on the plane, you know, to fly over there.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens is the stewardess said, "Oh, didn't know you were on the plane, Jasper."
You're joking.
So she thought obviously I was Jasper Carrot. There's only two comedians in Birmingham, me and him. So I said, "I'm not. He's the other one." And then she sort of got out of it by saying, "Oh, yeah, but you've done quite a lot of work with him, haven't you?" "I haven't." But I said, "Yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah, we have. We have done quite a bit of stuff together."
What would that possibly have been?
I don't know.
What are you and Jasper Carrot? Carrot and Skinner?
Yeah, can you imagine it?
Skinner Carrot.
Skinner Carrot.
Skinner Carrot would be good. I mean, it's not natural.
You know what,
it's more peel, but we can get away with
maybe
that.
Maybe give your manager a call.
Like Frost Nixon. You have to, Frost Nixon, you sit and interview Jasper Carrot in black country dialect. Really harsh.
He's a Brummie, though.
Well, you're not, though.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
You've got to.
Anyway, so that was a good start. of course, we laughed. Didn't we laugh? Which is some of Jasper probably doesn't say that often.
Oh,
that
God
was a joke. That's just friendly, friendly body leg pulling. Come on, we've worked together for years.
Friendly
we're like Dave
pulling.
Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Are you?
No. Frank Skinner on
Absolute Radio. Yeah, it just occurred to me, why do magicians play that as their walk-on music?
No, some... They used
put themselves
to be,
down.
There used to be a guy on Saturdays. We shouldn't talk
no, we
too
shouldn't.
Long because we're on the decade thing. But anyway,
fine.
What happened was we just played on the main station It's a Kind of Magic by Queen. There used to be a TV guy, magician, who actually did use that. It's a Kind of Magic.
Because it's a very, like, optimistic, kind of fun song, but like you say, the lyrics are very downbeat, really.
Yeah, it's saying, not strictly speaking, magic.
It's one of the kinds of magic.
Yeah, but
we're not allowed to talk about it anymore.
Well, we can now. I've established
we
just played it.
I don't know the rules. They're ever changing.
I've broken
the code.
The rules change.
The decadarial war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I want to know what happened on the plane, Frank.
Yes, so it was. I liked it on the plane because we had three. We had three seats.
Like, yeah, you know, when a five-year-old writes a story called My Holiday.
I liked it on the plane.
By
they
Frank
gave
Skinner.
Us crisps.
It was nice.
Yeah. What happened was. We had three seats, we had that bit by the window.
You?
And Omar took the window and Pierre took the aisle because he's a man mountain. And also, it was like a fabulous Frank sandwich. And I felt so secure and I was able to say things like, you wouldn't mind putting this in the overhead locker, would you, Pierre? And he did it while still sitting down. Which I was so I'd like to travel like that all the time, I think, with a man either side of me.
Well, tell me about it, dear.
Yeah.
What I would say...
When we got off the... walked off the plane, I actually took my feet off the ground and it was fine. It's like the old cigar box juggling.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend dance routine.
No.
I think... Frank, though, it's always great if you're get being put in the middle. You know what that means? They do think of you as fabulously slim.
Mm. I suppose. Although Omar's pretty. I mean, Pierre is slim. It's
he's slim.
Enormous as
no,
a man.
I wouldn't say slim.
He's Henge.
He's like the giant of Cern Abbas, but perhaps a little more modest and less excitable.
Pierre is, I would say, he's just slightly Zeus proportions.
Yes,
he's got
exactly.
The Greek god about him.
I think. Yeah. I wonder if people think he's my security guy.
I think so.
Mm.
I think sat in a row like that, me and then you and then Omar, I think me and Omar have something of the 80s action movie bodyguards about us.
Yeah, like sort of we can't get close to the...
Unusual facial hair, diverse ethnically.
Yes.
And much larger than the man we're guarding, the sort of supervillain.
It makes sense. It's all a bit Austin Powers,
yeah.
I think. Anyway... So, yes, I did like it on the plane. But then when we got to Ulster, we did the Ulster Hall. I say when we got to Ulster, when we got to Belfast. Mm. And it was one of those halls, it's a big place. The crowd was great, but they were quite a long way. The distance between the front row and the stage was, half a mile? It felt like it. I had to send Omar out for semaphore flags.
The audience were in the Republic.
Yeah, but they were a long way. I felt estranged from my people, that's what
I felt. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to get close, with the audience. Not as close as I used to.
Oh,
no,
you've changed
days,
now.
Obviously, no, I don't mean that close.
For the encore.
Yeah. Remember that... That Groucho Marx when he's dancing in the film with Margaret Dumont, who was his regular sort of leading lady, sort of big, tall, statuesque woman. And she said, oh, dance closer, dance closer. And he said, if I dance any closer, I'll be in back of you. Which I had a massive influence on my career.
Oh, God. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Yeah, so I got through the Ulster gig with a bit of shouting.
Yes, you projected.
I projected, but, you know. Also, I was slightly, obviously, haunted by the fact we could have got another 100 seats in there. Anyway.
People could see you mouthing maths.
Yeah, exactly.
During laughs.
So it's great. We had a great time in Belfast. And we met all these people from the Seamus Heaney Centre and taught poetry.
We did.
And we went and had a look at some of his handwritten notes for his translation of Beowulf.
I'm a bit jellybags. I like meeting Seamus, yeah.
It was great.
It was really cool.
But the next morning, we got the car to Dublin Airport.
Next morning? Because we had to go to Dublin.
Oh, yes. We went to Dublin. We stayed at the Hard Rock Cafe in Dublin.
Yes.
Mm. And what did they have there? Janis Joplin's auto harp case.
Yes, David.
No auto harp.
No.
Okay.
Nevertheless. David Bowie's jumpsuit. You know the usual thing. Anyway, the next morning, yes, so we did, that was the Irish leg done. This is my point. You know, I like to share incidents from the week with you guys. So I'm in a car. Now, I had an idea for a chat show. What do you think about this? Based on phone calls, because I think phone calls are a good way of like marking the stepping stones of one's life, career, whatever. I always think of that Stephen King thing in his book on writing about getting a call to say we're going to make a film of Carrie. Mm. And he said he just felt his entire life change. Anyway, I had one of those phone calls. Mm. It was a life changer, I felt. My manager, you know, every year about this time, we've just celebrated our 15th anniversary on the show, so obviously that means the new contract is coming.
Yep.
And every year I do self-deprecating jokes about the fact we probably won't get it renewed. Guess what? We didn't. So, we're not just going now. I'm not going to say bye and that's the end. We've got we've got some notice to serve.
Sound like we're prisoners.
Yeah. But no, that was, that's it. As I think Betty Davis said, too many work to the theatre. I told you some time ago about being at a football match and a man got up and did a big impassioned long criticism of the team. No. And the bloke sitting near me said, "Sit down, we've seen ya." Well, that's basically the message I got from Absolute.
I would never have guessed that you would sort of break the news of the phrase, "Guess what?"
I know. But obviously, I did tell, I told Pierre and Emily before this.
Yeah.
They haven't.
This isn't how we're finding out.
I wouldn't want to spring it on them.
Would be cruel and very funny.
Although we had a good run, but I realise in recent times I am ever more becoming granddad from The Simpsons. But even so, I'm not going to pretend I took it well in that we've had 15 years and Absolute have actually been very, very good to us in those 15 years. But I didn't took it well. I took it well the way David Tennant took it well as the 10th Doctor when he started to regenerate and said, "I don't want to go."
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
By the way, I should make it clear, yes, we are sacked, we've got several shows left. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not the walk of shame.
No, it's sort of like...
Well, you say that. We don't know how it's going to pan out.
No, but that's how I understand. We're all... they've taken away my key to the stationery cupboard, let's put it that way. No, they haven't. I never had one.
I was going to say, you've ruined it for me now. I was going to say I'm leaving to spend more time with my family.
Yes.
And then I realised I don't have one, so that's all.
Oh.
What I could say, what about I've decided to pursue new opportunities? That's the other... What are the other euphemisms?
Yeah, that would be an optimistic one for me to use. But I've gone a bit... It's Thomas Tuchel, if you're not into football. Thomas Tuchel is not a character from a fairy tale. He's the manager of Bayern Munich, and he's been sacked, but he's still working till the end of the season. So it's like that.
Yeah.
Well, how's that going?
Oh, very badly.
For Thomas.
I feel for Jenny Foote, our assistant producer. Has only been here 5 minutes. She's the Harry Kane in this Thomas Tuchel Bayern Munich. Coming, done brilliantly well. We haven't won a thing.
Oh, no.
Listen, you can always go on TikTok, be an influencer. Hey, guys. I see you doing that.
More of an effluencer. I tell you, it reminded me of a bloke... I was in a pub with my dad and some mates of his who were all down at heel. Mm. And one of them was talking about, you know, his marriage had split up and he's unemployed. And he said to me, "Bea killed my pig." I said, "You had a pig?" He said, "What are you talking about?" "What are you talking about? That's a saying. Beer killed my pig means beer, like, spoilt my life." I said, "Oh, that saying, the killed my pig," as a reference to life.
Of course, you know, you're having a wife and a job, and that's like having a pig.
Yeah.
And it's all like having a big pig.
Beer killed, yeah. That was that your life was the pig. Yeah. And beer, somehow you gave it beer.
Because when you enjoy life too much, that's like giving the pig that is your life beer.
When did we all agree that pig was the life?
Yeah, it turned on me.
Yeah,
as if he'd said something like, I don't know, a really common metaphor everyone
uses.
Like
if he'd said, "Kill two birds with one stone."
That's cruel.
What birds?
Exactly. Thanks for getting me out of that hole there, Pierre. Great work.
Wow.
But that's exactly right, yes.
Yes.
Beer killed my pig. Yeah. I mean, I presume beer is on a dotted line. You can use other things that killed your pig.
Depending on what you feel has killed the pig of your life.
Or what killed the pig of this show? Poetry, Anglo-Saxon history, and references to Roman Catholic theology. Probably. I'm seeing it now as a self-inflicted wound.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Anyway, listen, this is exciting. We were in Cardiff on Saturday night.
I love that
story. But we didn't
stay
in Cardiff. So we did two shows in Cardiff. We did matinee and evening. That's the two shows we did. Revolutionary scheduling on our part. And then Omar drove to Swansea.
This is your tour manager, we should say.
Yes. And the reason we didn't stay in Cardiff is we had a special place to stay in Swansea. Mm. Oh. And I personally ended up sleeping in Dylan Thomas's bedroom. Dylan Thomas, the great Welsh poet.
Shut up.
We went to the house where he was born. Pierre slept in the room where he was born.
I did.
And I slept in Dylan's room where he, first 20 odd years of his life, he lived there. And it was absolutely fantastic. It's a 5 Hundonkin drive in Swansea. But, man, it was exciting.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. In case you don't know, Dylan Thomas, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day." Just composing my email to Absolute.
I don't like the sound of the old raver.
No, exactly.
So, was it beautiful?
Oh,
the
man, it was just exciting because, you know, it's not like it's packed with memories. They've put in period stuff, so there's woodbine cigarettes on the floor and sort of 1920s neckties around.
And all the furniture and the windows, it's like a living museum. It's
furniture from the period.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But that didn't matter. It's his, you know, sat in that room.
Did you hit up some of your poetry contacts, Frank?
Anyone can do it. Really? This is great news for our readers. If you're in Swansea and you book ahead, you can sleep in Dylan Thomas's birthplace.
Wow.
Yeah. But before we went to bed on that night, I made Pierre and Omar sit up and I read Dylan Thomas poetry to them. Yeah. This is the thing, if it's my tour, and if I want to read poetry, you have to listen. And also sit either side of me on the plane.
All three of us were in bed like Batman and Robin.
It was
with
like
sort
that.
Of little nightcaps on. And
yeah.
A big candle on a dish.
He's making you listen to poetry. It's like Kim Jong-un making everyone have his hair cut.
But we could not do it there.
Yeah,
but
that's
it was,
true.
It was great. That was really super special, I must say. And like I say, anybody can stay there.
Yeah,
I'm going straight there.
And it's not
I've
like
got a bit
loads
of time
of
money. On my hands now. On the weekends,
I'm not going to read out the price. Yeah, but exactly.
No, a couple of few Saturdays there.
You don't have to go at the weekend.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a regular thing. But it was great. I love that. And also, we stayed at the Hotel Divan in Bristol. And you know my big problems with the Hotel Divan. I can't find the get some numbers.
Yes.
I don't know any wines. Yeah. I'm saying it's got to be. Hector Bar. I said to the woman, woman on reception, I said, I just can't find, I don't know where my room is. I don't, you know, why don't you give them numbers? And she said, oh, we're going for a sort of a escape room vibe. What a great line for someone from the Hotel Divan. Yeah.
And you can only imagine the number of times that she said to sit there.
I know.
She's not allowed to say, I know, it's stupid.
No, she's not allowed to say that.
Do you know what I do, Pierre? I also do that thing of, I so want them to like me and be impressed, I sometimes look up the pronunciation of the wine.
Oh.
So I say it in the right way.
That's not...
I believe I'm in the... Echo Falls room?
In some of the places, I can't remember whether it's Ireland or Wales, but you get the translation thing. Yeah. And then I had a very strange, you know, I showed you this, Pierre, a vanity kit. You know the vanity kit, which is a great name for anything, isn't it? I've had to throw mine away. stop now. It said vanity kit, and then underneath it said... Kit Vanity.
Yeah.
Well, that's hardly a translation, is it? That's its phone book entry.
It's also the name of a fabulous private eye.
Oh, yeah.
Kit Vanity.
Yeah. Private detective.
Kit Vanity.
Shall we do that? Yeah. Could be my next project.
It's our next job. This is Frank Skinner.
This is
Absolute
Radio. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. We're not live, so do not text us. You'll be throwing money into a deep hole. But you can follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio or email via frank at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Frank, I would like to share with you.
Yes, my dear. That used to be the catchphrase of... a British comedian who, even as I moved towards
it
his name,
work.
I remember he was cancelled. So we just said that was a catchphrase that existed.
How long did it take him to come up with "Yes, my dear"?
I know there are some catchphrases from. What about "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash"? That was like quite a big Johnny Cash catchphrase.
Oh, you can't do that, can
you? Yeah.
My catchphrase is "Good morning." That's my catchphrase.
Johnny Cash with the Highwaymen. Mm. Yeah. Which is a band, that sort of super group thing. And he didn't say, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash," till about 25 minutes in. Oh. And it got an enormous, enormous cheer. Oh, God, he said, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash."
What?
Who did?
I mean, most catchphrases, by definition, are a bit weak in content. Mm. Nice to see you, nice.
Well, that was quite clever. Exploration of syntax and its flexibilities.
How did that happen?
What?
Nice to see you, nice. It's one of the... It's gibberish.
No, I like it.
How do you think it's quite clever in terms of syntax?
I particularly like it because I worked with Bruce. Yeah. And we did a sketch together. Remember I told you this?
I love Bruce.
And Bruce is sitting in his office and I'm like a secretarial figure. And a young woman come in and says, "I'm here to see my uncle Bruce." And I phone him and say, "Nice to see you, niece."
That's why he likes
which
it.
I liked a lot. I love that. That's comedy history.
But how do you come up with a catchphrase that is a sort of mad, backwards... It's the sort of thing the Riddler would say.
Well, that's great about it.
Do you like Shut That Door?
It's all right, I
what's
think.
That, okay. What's that from?
That's Larry Grayson. He sold it well.
Looking into the wings and going, shut that door. I like the idea of stuffed onto the wings. Tommy Cooper used to look into the wings and say, what do you mean, come off? I've just come on.
Larry Grayson also had all the Muckineer, didn't he?
Yes, he used to. Mm. It's a great... He was very good. He used to do catchphrases, didn't have any words.
Yeah.
He would just be standing and singing at the piano and he would just slide a finger around and look at the dust on his fingertip. That was great. Anyway.
So, I would like to share some correspondence from our readers. We were discussing last week or week before...
One more catchphrase. Jack Warner, mind my bike, was his catchphrase.
That's just an instruction.
Exactly. Carry on.
You were discussing, Frank, do you remember you were talking about Alfred... Lord Tennyson.
Yeah, well, someone... Where did we get to that? It was something about the use of the word Lord.
Well, you pointed out...
He was the only person I could think of who uses it as like a middle... You know, like, there used to be a boxer that was called something like Carl the Truth Williams.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Alfred Lord Tennyson, except he was a Lord.
Yeah, normally it would be Lord... Alfred or Lord Tennyson or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it was on about me reading Dylan Thomas to Pierre and Omar. There's a story
in our big bed.
There's a story about Lord Alfred Tennyson. He'd written a poem called Maud, which is probably in your average poetry book about 25 pages. And he read it, I think he might have read it, including the Brownings were there. Oh. Elizabeth and Robert, and he read it to them, and they did that thing which you think no one ever really did, and they said that was brilliant, we love that, and so he did it again.
Oh no.
Do you know what, I think you would have got on with him, Frank.
Yeah, probably.
Don't you? He'd have been a lovely friend for you. Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Yeah, that would be it'd be knowing what to call him. ALT ALT's coming round. I'd be happy with that.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Now then, this email about Alfred Lord Tennyson, which we never got round to.
Sorry, and other things you'd only hear on our radio show.
Here we go.
Now then, this is from Steve, the poet, Paige Ealing.
A bit like Alfred Lord.
That's what he's done, and I like that. First time caller. Long-time podcast listener.
I interviewed Marvelous Marvin Hagler, the boxer, and he said, I keep telling the announcers to say Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and they often forget or they get the words mixed up and say mischievous or something. And he said, so I changed my name by deed poll. He's actually called Marvelous Marvin Hagler. That's his name.
Well, I was discussing with Al Murray only last week.
Can I tell you one more public announcement?
Please do.
Brian Glover, the actor, I don't know if you remember him, who played in Cares, yeah. He tells a story about when he was a wrestler. A lot of actors did wrestling to make money because there was a lot of acting involved. And he said the first time he did it, he was a teacher as well. The first time he did it, the guy announcer said, what's your name? He said, Brian Glover. I said, that's no good. He said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a French teacher. He said, leave it to me. He said, ladies and gentlemen, Leon Harris, the man from Paris. So that became his regular name. Just like that.
Which is mad, because also Leon Harris, it's not a French name.
No, but, you know, this guy wasn't doing research.
Leon Harry, the man from Paris.
That would have been good. Sorry. Murray.
Yeah, Al Murray and I walked past some sort of monument to Capability Brown, the father of the English landscape. And as Al pointed out, well, it's a bit, I'll be the judge of that. I'd like you to see your work first.
Yeah.
I mean, Capability, yeah, you're jumping the gun a bit there.
That's the old Puritan thing, isn't it? Mm. Where they would just flick through the Bible and put their finger down and that would be the name.
Is that right?
That was a thing for a while. That's where you get these weird figures from history called and they shall lament all ye lost Johnson. And you go, oh, my God, what?
Well, I remember I was in some despairing situation in my life. This was Tuesday. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was in my drink. It was in my drinking, Dad.
Oh,
I've just told.
My God.
I've just said to these two, no more references to us being sacked. I mean... No, I'm sorry. I broke the rule. No.
You know what? Daddy's allowed to break the rule.
Okay, anyway, I was, you know, drinking a lot and things were going bad and I thought, I'm going to turn to the good book.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll open the Bible and whatever it says at the top of the right-hand page, left-hand column, that's going to be my message for life now.
And what was it?
It was, and Japheth begat Melchizedek. What am I going to do with that?
How long did you stare at that sentence thinking, Melchizedek, could that be the pig of my life?
The pig of my pig?
It was very, very... And who said God doesn't do jokes? Frank
Skinner on Absolute Radio. So, can I read this email?
No, yes, sorry, we've... And what was the...
It was from Steve the Poet Page.
Okay.
Ealing. And he was
good
getting...
Good name for a poet, Page.
Mm. He was getting in touch with us regarding Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Oh, yes.
First-time caller, long-time podcast listener. You mentioned Alfred Lord Tennyson. The only other Lord with a similar name format is Screaming Lord Such.
Oh, yes.
But his poetry isn't as compelling, nor is his dress sense. Yours, with thanks for the chat, Steve the Poet Page Ealing. It was, you know, it was concise, but a very good point, I think.
To be fair to Screaming Lord Such.
Oh. that's a book I'd read. Yeah.
David, was he?
Yes, Your Highness.
David Such, I think he's called.
Was he a Lord, Frank?
No. Oh. I saw him live at Wembley Stadium.
What?
And, yeah. As part of a rock and roll day. And he was he carried on stage in a white coffin by four topless women.
Mm. Mm.
We didn't know, you see. We didn't know then. And I was like 15. I'd never seen anything like in all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I went back the next day, my dad, it was in the paper, a picture of these women. And he said, well... It's good to have these adventures in your life. I don't know if it's an adventure as such.
I think Lord Such was having the adventure.
But Lord Such did a couple of numbers. Because what his thing was, he'd done an album called Lord Such and Friends.
Hmm.
And he got some quite... I can't remember exactly, but it was people like Jeff Beck and stuff had all joined in with him, even though he was fairly awful. So... yeah, it had an interesting
did
career.
Did Lord Such? I just remember, just remind me of his sartorial vibe, because I remember a bit
very
of a leopard...
top hat.
Was there a leopard skin bolero coat? And then a sort of, some sort of medallion. Did he wear a medallion?
I have an idea he might have had a white tuxedo evening suit type thing on this
I remember
day.
Leopard print.
It was very post-nuclear apocalypse Vegas casino.
But he said something which was, I think, beyond the pale. He made some very sort of nostalgic speech about Jack the Ripper.
What?
And I thought, no, no.
I mean, you know what? You can't just because you both wear top hats, that's not enough.
All right.
You can't just wipe out his crimes because of their affinity on top hats.
They stick together. Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, Another figure of great horror and violence.
Phileas Fogg.
Well, I bet Mr. Peanut's killed a lot more than Jack the Ripper.
Frank. For God's sake, Frank.
You're right. That was... obviously, it's a bad thing that he's done that.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, we didn't know. That's probably what he says. That's probably on his... on his marker, his grave marker, Mr. Peanut.
We didn't know.
We didn't know.
We have some further correspondence from our readers.
Good.
That I'd like to share with you. This is from Camilla Miller.
No. Oh, I just put my hopes up.
Camilla Miller.
Really?
Mm.
Do.
Camilla Miller.
Okay. That's unusual, isn't it? Maybe it's a married name.
She's in Surrey.
Okay.
I've got a bit that's like.
There's no need to apologise.
Hello, Frank, Emily and Pierre. Long-time reader, first-time messenger. Regarding Frank's issue last week with his haircut description... Do you want to just quickly remind us?
My argument was that I got a... Is it called a skin fade?
A fade.
And what I wanted was an abrupt stop, not a fade. Yeah. I want a line. I want a Peaky Blinders line. So it's, oh, that bloke's got completely normal. That bloke who's slightly submerged in the water has got completely normal. Oh, it stopped. That's what I'm after.
Yeah. That his hair hasn't fully downloaded or printed out. It stops at a big
line. Is it
line.
A bit more sort of W.H. Auden, T.S. Eliot, the vibe you're after?
Well, I think we've had... I tell you, if any more poetry gets mentioned on the show, we won't even do the remaining eight.
Well, our own listener suggested Himmler, so, you know, it can't be worse than poetry.
I can only apologise.
That's true. Yeah, but people know what I mean. So it doesn't... Yeah. There's no fade.
No.
The hair stops and then skin commences.
Well, yes. Camilla Miller has this suggestion. She says, I'm sure a similar style to the one you've mentioned, Frank, was popular with the boys at secondary school in the mid-90s. Bit harsh.
Okay.
We used to call the style a step.
Oh.
The bottom half of the hair was shaved very close.
Yes.
And the hair on top cut in a line. A bit like a bowl cut, but parted at the front. He's gone Tottenham goalkeeper curtains. What was his name? Ian...
Walker.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's sort of post-operation dog.
Yes.
The line I'm after.
But this, I think what she's talking about, the sort of classic, like, Dawson's Creek kind of curtains, where it's sort of the hair's so long above the shaved bit that it's falling over. But that's not quite what you want.
No, that is the mayor in the Lorax.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got that.
She has said it looks essentially like there's a step between the head and the hair. Could this be the style Frank is looking for?
Well, she's right. I am looking for the step.
Yes, but not a sort of hidden step.
No.
We want a clear line. The hair stops here.
Yeah, I think. I mean, my whole point was this. Is I've said it a few times now.
Okay, don't get
to
angry.
Barbers. And they don't... Well, I'm not communicating. There must be a magic word.
Well, Daniel Knight says there is.
Okay.
I've been listening to Frank's struggles. Stop it, Frank.
No, I like it.
We're talking about hair. I've come up with the perfect way Frank can get across his instructions. All he has to do is ask for an Edmund Blackadder.
They won't know that.
Failing that.
Also, Edmund Blackadder changed his hair every series because he was living in a different period.
Okay, will you hear Daniel Knight out?
Okay.
Failing that,
Daniel Knight out is called.
Yeah. Camilla Miller and Daniel Knight out.
He's a party organiser.
Failing that, ask for a Henry of Monmouth. That's a bit more general, so that's good. Mm. He'll definitely get that.
Is that Henry V, Henry?
It is.
Monmouth? Okay, yeah.
Any barber worth his salt should know what to do from there on in.
I like the idea that any of the sort of Greek Cypriot barbers near me would... You want a Henry of Monmouth, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Well, makes a change from Henry V, we normally get.
I'm so sick of people coming in asking for Henry VIII and so on.
We're all anxious, but I think we got through it.
Yeah. He's South African, I think it's okay.
Oh, yeah, of course, I forgot that.
Do you know what I mean? I think you can get away with it.
We were always suppressed by the Greeks.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
I have no idea about that.
Okay. Only intellectually.
Always live and learn. Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. Now, Frank, I don't know if you're familiar with this term. I think Paul Thomas Walsh might have come across the origin point of it. He says, Dear Frank, Emily and Pierre, during a very interesting historical walking tour of the jewellery quarter in Birmingham recently...
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know, I mean...
Sort of Hockley, I suppose, is the area.
Would you say it's likely that it was a very interesting historical walking tour of the jewellery quarter?
I think it probably was. I think... This could be completely wrong, but someone like Napoleon described Birmingham as the toy box of England because it made a lot of jewellery.
Ah. Okay. All right. Okay, Napoleon. I spotted this engraving on the pavement honouring a famous industrialist whose nib/pen factory was a local economic powerhouse.
Okay.
So it's
I went to, I filmed at the Quink factory once, which was ink.
Quink.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was when ink was, you know, I mean, ink in a bottle. Mm. Right.
How did
was
the,
massive.
What's the origin of the well, the etymology of that portmanteau word? Is it quick ink or something? What is it?
Maybe it's quite, yeah. Quite.
A quill with ink inside it.
Ink. Someone said quite ink.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
A quill with ink inside it.
Oh, okay.
Imagine.
Anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, all will be well. So. And all manner of things will be well. That was their slogan.
Yeah. The engraving is 1840, Joseph Gillett opened the Victoria Works, and it says, with a sort of halo around it, his nibs.
Oh.
His nibs.
So does that mean he was known as his
nib? As his nib. Well, this is the thing. So Paul says, this sign was right across from the Penn Museum, about which Frank has previously spoken.
Mm.
Couldn't help but wonder if his nibs might be a suitable nickname for Frank, given the sign's location and Frank's origins, plus his success as a man of letters.
Well, people, when they say his nibs about people in general conversation,
what does that actually mean?
It's a sort of an ironic thing, yeah. Of someone who's a bit self-important, isn't it?
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
Bit like, yeah.
Do you think this bloke who had a pen factory was known as his nibs because of his nibs?
Well, this is what I'm thinking, is that maybe he was so sort of proud.
Good job he didn't make ballpoints.
It would be a fun nickname for a very self-important man.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Will his nibs be joining us?
No, I never
no,
knew.
No, I'm afraid tonight it's going to be...
I'm afraid it's the guy from the factory next door.
Mm. I never knew. Yeah, I never knew. Again,
yes.
I'm learning.
Is his nibs a bit old fancy pants?
Yes, exactly. Mm.
Yeah, like a sort of a jumped up
which
local
it turned
official.
Out was the official name of Mike Baldwin in Coronation Street, who ran a ladies' underwear factory.
Oh, Mr. Fancy.
I looked at Pierre, then he was looking at me as if I'd started speaking Swahili. Actually, you might know that.
I'm all over Baldwin. As you know, my mother was given some great acting advice by the man who played Mike Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Who was?
It was, don't tell me...
I'm going to leave you to mull over that while I tell you what his advice was.
Okay.
You say your lines, you get paid. No, I'll say this again. You say your lines, you turn up, you get paid, you go home.
Yeah?
Yeah?
That's all he said.
Good advice.
You must learn your lines, don't you? You can't say your lines
well,
and then turn up.
Well, that's what I thought. But I don't control what he says. Mm. He's Mike Baldwin. Do you remember his name? Come on.
I can't remember. Johnny... Johnny Briggs.
Fine, I'm so proud of you.
You digged it. Once the bucket goes down, who knows what's going to come up in it. But it was indeed Johnny Briggs. Give me a break, Vera. Yeah. Is he? I think he was standing next to me in a lineup when I met Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
Was he? What, yeah. What did she say to him?
I understand you sell pants on the television.
Yeah. Have you got any with ER on? Coming handy in the Black Country. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. We're not live, so do not text. We don't want you to waste your money. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Oh, boys, there's something I'd like to discuss with you, because you were on a plane... Well, Frank was telling me earlier. Mm, you were on a plane only this week.
We were.
On route to Ireland.
Yes, and I said I particularly like the seating arrangement with me in the middle and the Son and the Holy Ghost of Pierre and Omar at my side.
So don't you feel a bit trapped?
No, I like
hands?
It. I like it. I was actually thinking if we go down, I wonder if this would help the impact of having these two either side of me.
That's lovely.
And with Pierre, you never know, because he's a very big man.
No, but I'd want him on that desert island to forage.
And I remember an Irish guy in a pub who was a mate of my brother's, and he told me about when he was a boy, he had to take a horse to be shot. It was very...
Absolute radio.
No, it was very ill. It was very ill. And it's just they didn't have the injections in those days. So he had to stand holding the reins on this horse, and the man did the thing with a gun, and the horse fell on him.
Oh.
And they couldn't get fed on the kid, and they couldn't... They had to get some other people to... He was all right. I met him. You know, he was still moving about.
They put him out. But that's what it might, out of its misery, though.
That's stop what it might Frank. Have been if Pierre had fainted
yes.
on the
well,
plane.
I wanted yeah. to know what you...
Me pinned underneath.
I think you
bag
three...
of crisps smashed.
You know what? If I'd have got onto that plane,
yeah.
I would have quite liked you three travellers.
Yeah.
I just think you're quite a nice posse to sit next to.
As a trio, I think we're quite hard to explain.
There's something for all the family.
Yeah.
Well, that,
you see us, you go, what is this?
You know those lateral thinking, you know, how did these three men come to be together?
It's a bit Sesame yeah. Street. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
That's why I like it. You're all so different, but all fabulous. Yeah. So I wanted
And as Meatloaf said, two out of three ain't bad.
Oh, who's the...
Then there's the good, the bad and the ugly.
Yes.
The three block. Was it Hear No Evil, See No Evil? Anyway,
okay.
Yes. Many
so
combinations.
So this happened on a plane, and I want to know what you both think of this. As seasoned travellers now, well, one trip to Ireland, but you know what I mean.
Well, we had to come back. That's
okay.
Two.
Stop boasting, fancy pants. So a chef called Anthony Thomas from Washington, it's all the basic biographical information out of the way with.
Yeah.
He posted a picture on social media recently, and I was intrigued by this because the picture showed him, he was basically on a virtually empty plane.
Right.
And you know when you have that feeling, we've all had it, you get on the plane, you think, great, this is basically like being in a private jet because there's only a handful of people on this plane.
Mm.
It wasn't a busy flight. Yeah. So you can spread out, you feel you're king of your domain. Another passenger comes on, he's got hundreds of seats to choose from. He comes and sits in the very seat. Is it right behind?
Right behind him.
Anthony. Now, some would say Anthony felt this was very passive aggressive.
Really?
This was an act
yeah.
of aggression.
I can't see this at all. If he'd sat next to him, I can understand
behind
him
is worse.
Thinking.
Behind, but it's such a choice. You go, okay,
yes.
Clearly this guy's got like a plan for the back of my head or something. Like it's such an unsettling decision.
Because one of the biggest gripes on a flight is the reclining seat issue.
Well, you know what? I've tried reclining the seat. I just think people think, oh, great, I can recline my seat. But they never stop to think, is it actually comfortable?
Yeah.
I find no improvement in my general comfort from reclining the seat at all.
It helps me with the leg angle.
Oh, well, the leg angle's a different argument.
Yeah.
I used to think, I didn't, the barbers, I'll go back to my hair, the barbers I go to at the moment, I lean forward into the sink and he washes my hair,
yes.
You know that. But I used to go to one where it was behind you, the sink, and I could not relax because when I was lying there, leaned back, I got it into my head that the barber was going to karate chop my Adam's apple. And once you've had that thought, you cannot relax.
Well, imagine if you had that thought because the only other person on the plane was behind you like a barber. You were going to recline and relax, and now your Adam's apple is exposed to a fellow aeroplane passenger.
Do you honestly not think it's weird on a bus?
I honestly don't know what... I had this argument with a bloke.
That you sat behind on a plane?
No, a bloke. We was on a car park with not many cars, and I parked in the bay next to him.
Oh, my gosh, that's absolutely awful.
Mad.
But
why did you do that? It's so aggressive.
If you're going around...
Because I was driving along, I saw his car, and I thought, that's a good idea.
I'll park next to him.
Yeah, well, what is wrong with that?
Because, why didn't you leave a gap?
Exactly.
Well, there was a, you know, a small gap.
No.
Do you like that my role with Pierre? Yeah, you tell him, boss.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
No, I don't get this at all.
Can I just say, in shock news... Pierre and I have discovered that this figure we're alluding to, this figure in society who...
You know when we often talk on here, we talk about people who pile all their luggage on seats or talk in the cinema. Yeah. And we said, why do we never hear from those people?
Why do we
people?
Never meet them?
Well, here I am.
You're
here
one of them. Is.
So it turns out, everyone, Frank Skinner is that guy, as they say.
I see no problem. This guy come back to the car and said, that's a bit close, mate, isn't it? I said, what's this, an official complaint? And he got in the car a bit.
Wow.
And then these two guys went, oh, all right, Frank, or hey, Dick, can we have a photo and all that? And I said, you know, where are you going and all that? And he said, that's our uncle in the car with him. I said, well, he's a miserable bloke. He come and moaned about me. And they said, yeah, he's a bit tricksy.
Tricksy?
Disloyally. Very disloyally.
Tricksy?
That's yeah. What they said
like
about...
a riddle-spinning gnome.
Also, yeah. That sounds a bit like what you'd say about sort of the craze or something, a little bit tricksy. Yeah.
No, remember, playful. I was a man who once went into a family changing area booth.
Oh, God, don't.
When there was already a family in there.
You're a sardine, is what you are.
Yeah, well...
You just want to be crammed
I'll
in.
I'll tell you what it is, Pierre. Let me explain it to you. I've worked out what it is with him. It's a slight sort of puritanical thing, I would say, that, you know, Frank Skinner hates waste.
Mm.
He won't waste food. He says, oh, those going spare. Or yeah,
the waste
he hates
of food
waste
is
of
terrible.
Jokes.
But, yeah. But you know what my dad said? If you throw bread on the fire, the devil will appear.
Well, this is so what we're getting
what,
to the heart of
that's what's put
it.
Me off waste.
I wonder what could have put you off waste. And so this is the same. He sees it as decadent somehow. If there's the whole plane...
But hold on.
Yeah.
What's the range of this? So you think this plane thing is fine. What
absolutely.
If...
Absolutely. Behind if, as well. It's not like you don't
on.
Even see him.
Hold on.
You feel him.
On that plane we were on, I have no idea who was sitting behind me. That's behind me.
Yeah,
what if you're on the bus, and you know sometimes you get the pleasure of an empty bus, and you feel like king of the bus.
Right.
You're sat there, king of the bus, loads of seats.
Yeah.
Someone gets on, they sit right next to you.
Well, it depends who that someone is.
But would you sit next
would you
to
not,
someone?
Would you not just think, well, that's mad. Why did you choose this? You could have two seats to yourself.
I might think, I'd probably think they've recognised me and they're going to broach a conversation.
I would have one hand hovering over the phone to call the police.
I would
if
assume,
someone sat next
I would
to
assume
me,
I was about to be mugged.
So would I.
Well, one thing
I'd call the police.
I hate is those people who sit on the end of the bus seat to stop you from sitting next to them. You know those people?
Well, obviously Hello. You hate that.
You know, because that is...
So you
that,
want to impose yourself on
you.
Their personal...
That's two, please, two, you.
That's two seats. That they're saying to the other person, if you want to sit here, I don't care how crowded the bus is, you're going to have an, you know, that conversation with
Darn
me about can I get
am.
Past and
Darn
stuff.
Straight. Why do you think I do it? Because I know...
Like the people who don't move... You know those theatres where it's not separate seats, it's like benches, and they won't move up because they don't want to sit... Oh,
what if you're
yeah, but don't
people.
Come through with your daunt books, bags and your big coats.
What are people frightened of about being in the adjoining bay on a car park?
It's just unsettling.
It feels like... I tell you what it is. Territorial hostility rises up in one. OK?
Not Frank.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
We're just going through what I think... What I think from now on will hold to be your maddest opinion.
What?
Which is,
so
which
weird.
Is that,
yeah.
That in a news... So to summarise the news story, a man got on a plane and it was one of those flights where the airline is basically just flying the plane back to where it gets passengers and no one goes the other way. So it's an empty plane. You can sit wherever you want.
They're effectively selling seats at a loss.
Merry Christmas to the passengers.
Yeah. But
this guy chose his seat and then this second, in my opinion... Deeply unwell man.
How many seats would he have had to choose from, Pierre? Let's
120.
Say 120. Wait, Frank, you'll have your turn, Minister.
And then he sat exactly behind the initial man.
Absolute freak. You think that's normal, Frank?
I don't think anything about it. It's not. I can't even imagine registering it.
Do you not even think it's unsettling?
Yeah.
You're on an empty plane and someone just went, I'll sit behind you.
Behind me, though.
You know that that's how you've watched him go down the aisle and sit behind you.
It's a freakish thing to do, Frank.
Another disadvantage of someone behind you.
You could have moved as well. You could move.
Okay, listen to this. So if you're
You could move. You could think, oh, I don't like him sitting behind me. I'll move to another seat.
Yeah, but that's, he's made you do that, then. He's made you do that.
He hasn't made you do anything. You've done it. Because of your priesty.
This
it's not prissy.
This is like saying, I never touched you. I just put my face really close to yours and started screaming.
It's nothing like that.
Here's the thing.
It's nothing like that.
If you were sitting in a cafe on your own, it's very much the sort of thing you do, and you're reading one of your little books.
Well, sometimes, as you know, I'm a big fan. When everyone's on phones, I like to just sit and literally stare into the
mid-distance. Which isn't remotely creepy.
No.
And so you're sitting there staring.
Yes.
And then if it was totally empty cafe, this, someone comes in, there's one seat immediately next to you. Let's say you're at Wagamama.
Oh, no, but suddenly these examples...
I will not be rushed.
These examples are all seats immediately next to me, not behind me.
Behind is next to you.
Look, so behind me. There could be a horse behind me now as we speak. I have no idea, and I don't care because it's behind me.
But here's also another disadvantage of someone behind you on a plane. When they get up to go to the loo or walk around or whatever, they use your headrest as a... sort of arm lifting thing. There's a sort of point of stability and it doings your head back and forth.
Who is it that's got the problem here again?
Yeah, but the guy doesn't need to be behind you because there's 120 seats.
Well, move then.
He's going to cry. They
resent the forcing of the moving.
But they've got all these sorts of... These people come on with enormous wheeled suitcases
that they call
hand luggage. And also this feeling...
Why do you care about the wheeled suitcases? They're above you.
I never do.
They're in a big drawer above
you.
They could fall on me. The bloke's not going to fall on me from behind unless the plane does crash, and then I won't really be worried about it.
Listen.
But also, this thing about going on planes, I know people look at you, because I've got a suit on, people look at you saying, bloke's going to wear a suit. Doesn't he know they're on a flight? Buttons and zips are really dangerous and painful. That's why you have to wear sweatsuits, even if you've never done exercise in your life.
Yeah, sweatsuits.
You've got to go to TK Maxx for a massive fleecy jogging outfit. Because to be on a plane with buttons and stuff, what about other people, mate? What if they touched one of the buttons on your jacket?
I think that's more self-comfort.
It does look a bit, on a flight in a suit, it does look a bit the defendant being extradited.
It does, yes. Especially in between two blokes. Everyone was looking for the cuffs. And lo and behold, they had buttons on them.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio. Frank, we're talking about this whole plane situation. It seems like we're never going to agree on this. Pierre and I are firmly in one camp, the normal one.
Yes.
You're sitting camp there normal. Over with, is this seat taken?
Yes, you're sitting there communing with the people playing their music out loud.
No, I'm not. It's a completely different... You can hear that. Unless he's got wing mirrors, this DJ.
You can sense.
But I do want to say there are people... Frank does have some people in his corner. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like when you hated Hamilton. There were some people that agreed with you, Donald Trump.
I wouldn't
Trump.
Say I hated it.
Okay.
I'd say I very much disliked it.
Very much disliked it. Let's be clear on that.
Phew.
Okay.
So, for example, here's one person who agrees with you, who commented on Anthony the Chef from Washington's Post. Guy's probably scared of flying. Instead of being super creepy, just ask him to sit in the same row. Maybe you'll make a friend.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I don't think you
I don't really like speaking to strangers on planes, especially after they've called me Jasper. When I first got on.
That's why you sit between the bodyguards. And
we did a three-part harmony on Funky Moped. We nutted me moped out on the road. Anyway.
I think it looked more like you would tell me to do something and I'd say, sure thing, boss.
The thing is...
I don't think they should recline, by the way.
People.
Airplane.
Seats?
I'm saying airplane now. Blame the iPhone. Aeroplane seats. I don't think they should recline. Do the pilots recline?
Looking at me, I do know a
go
pilot.
All the way backwards. They can just... They rotate.
Would be a worry.
They rotate.
The pilots, I don't know if they... But they have their little sleeping quarters. I've been there. That's for another time.
What about the long flights, though?
Long haul?
What if it's like a 12-hour flight?
What about
the seats not recline then?
Yes.
Well, that's different. Now you're actually moving into a bed sleeping mode.
I don't mind
then.
Unless there's someone behind you.
But when do you sit? Do these people have Parker Knolls at home? When they get home, do they think, oh, great, now I can really lean back a long way?
Yes,
I don't think
because
they
they've all got fleeces and they sit in the video game chairs.
That's
what most people live like these days.
What about my inalienable right to brace?
Yes.
Am I going to brace if the person in front is
Can we just
reclining?
Say, if you're currently downloaded this and listening to this on a plane, ignore that instruction. Yeah.
Why?
Don't say brace, yeah.
You still brace, don't they?
Yeah, but not at your command.
No, if you say brace, that's what Sully said, I believe.
Yes.
When he landed the plane on the Hudson. Survived.
My issue with the seats on airplanes is that they've got a kind of curved bit at the top where they go, this is for your head, and that is just under my shoulder blades. So I'm sort of forced into a Mr. Burns hunch by what is supposed to be the area where my head is luxuriating, apparently.
Well, imagine me. I feel like I've got a fedora on my head.
You guys.
You must feel like you're sitting on real estate when you sit in a plane chair.
My acres of
seat to either side of you.
My first long-haul flight, I flew to Kuala Lumpur.
Strange.
And right. If you walk back halfway down the plane, suddenly it was just a dense fog of tobacco smoke. And people sitting with one tiny screen that looked like the sort of screen you get on an iPhone, with them all watching the same film on there.
Through the fog.
And and you could literally, it sort of rolled like you know, mist along a river on early hours of the morning.
Frank, I'm going to join you in with you there. School trip to Athens. That was special.
Yeah. I remember I went into the business lounge at Kuala Lumpur Airport, and I did smoke then.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, can you smoke in here? He said, I think you have to.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, would you like to hear from Declan in Middle England?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Frank, Emily and Pierre. I'm a long-time reader of the Good Old Podcast, and this is my first ever call into the show.
Nice.
OK. A few editions ago... Oh, he's making it sound a bit Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Frank shared with us how he and Kath would listen to albums through headphones while laying on the floor hand-in-hand in the dark.
Not through headphones. We just blasted it out in the room.
Yeah.
Well, Declan has said, for weeks I've been thinking about the missed opportunity of scaring the life out of a burglar. As they turn on the living room light to discover two motionless bodies on the floor.
Mm. I always used to think we looked like the married couple off the top of a wedding cake had subsided.
It's like an
as the slices were taken from beneath them.
So you really dressed up to listen to these albums.
It
was the new Fall album. I'd have been happy to put on a suit and tie, especially.
I see that as a great idea for an emo wedding cake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Little bit. You are quite emo wedding cake, you two.
Yeah.
Love
sort
it.
Of, you know, half emo, half traditional English light entertainment. Sort of emu.
Okay. Declan wonders if this whole thing is too... Oh, my God.
Oh. You do have that one long green fuzzy arm.
I do, yeah.
Can I ask a quick question? That was really all Declan said.
I told you, never mention that.
While you mention emu, Frank.
Yeah.
Because Rod Hull, is he no longer with us?
I think Rod Hull is no longer with us.
But why does emu have to retire?
I don't think you do. Harry Corbett retired and then handed Sooty to his son. I think if I remember right, there was a court case.
What? Over Sooty?
Because I think Harry thought it was still okay to do like local church, you know, events and charity things. And I think the son thought different. I don't remember the details of this, but I think there was like a Sooty gate.
Can I ask another question? Did Emu, what was his character? Was he just essentially a sort of assault?
He was aggressive,
But did he just assault people? Did he speak or...?
No, he never spoke.
What did he do, peck people?
Yeah, he pecked and strangled and looked curiously at his owner.
Yeah.
If ever an emu can be owned...
Yeah.
I think that'd he's pecking and...
That'd be a good YouTube. Emu get owned.
Emu owned in debate.
Yeah.
Emu the puppet destroyed.
He upset, of course, Michael Parkinson particularly. Because he actually
lifted. Will I be upset?
He lifted his glass. You know the very popular 70s glass.
Oh, like
tables.
Whiskey glass. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he lifted, the top came off. It was just like sitting on the four legs, and Parkinson was furious. Oh. But he was furious when I was on. He was furious, bloke. You've got to accept that. he was.
Strange ending.
He asked me if I was doing an interview. Are you doing an interview or talking to him?
Yeah.
He said of
you were talking to... I'll tell you exactly who it was.
To that emu?
No, he was talking to Olympic rower Steve someone. It was a very famous Olympic rower.
Yeah, Olympic rower would have done. That's all the details anyone wants. Thank you so much for listening to us this morning. If the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. And this is when Now Get Out starts to sound like it's in quotation marks. But anyway, Now Get Out.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.